Every day, Bill Frank...
We're going to be doing one thing, and one thing only.
...talks with the best guests in America about business.
You mean business?
Monkey business?
Are you ready to get down to business?
All right! Everybody's here, and that means we can get down to business.
Entertainment.
Entertainment. The entertainment capital of the world.
What kind of entertainment?
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Sports.
Game on.
A grueling test of strength, speed, and stamina.
Wow, just like in the pros.
And the local community.
The rage in local radio.
Find out what's going on locally.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time now for the Bill Frank Radio Show on News Talk 1520 KVTA. Now, here's your host.
Bill Frank.
Hi, this is Bill Frank. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show on KVTA News Talk 1520. You can also hear me streaming over the internet at brainstorminonline.com. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work in Ventura and Santa Barbara. The Bill Frank Radio Show is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests has an interesting topic, no two of which are alike. My next guest has transformed the lives of millions of people and countless companies through her social forecast. She's turned her attention to achieving prosperity by tapping into the power of values, consciousness, and sound economic principles. We'll discuss her latest book titled Conscious Money. Patricia Aberdeen is one of the world's leading social forecasters and a co-author of the number one New York Times bestseller Megatrends 2000 and a renowned speaker. Patricia's newest book is Conscious Money, a blueprint of the social, economic, and spiritual trends transforming free enterprise. Patricia was John Nesbitt's collaborator on the publishing phenomenon Megatrends that topped the charts in the United States, Germany, and Japan. She co-wrote the best-selling Reinventing the Corporation and Megatrends for Women. Patricia's lifelong career in business journalism began at Forbes in 1978. She was a public policy fellow at Radcliffe College, Cambridge, Massachusetts. She holds a BA in philosophy from Newton College of the Sacred Heart, which is now known as Boston College, and she has an MS in library science from Catholic University, plus three honorary doctorates. Patricia lives in Boulder, Colorado, and Manchester by the Sea, Massachusetts. Joining us from the East Coast. Hi, Patricia. How are you today?
Hello, Bill. Wonderful to be with you.
Well, thank you for being a guest, and thank you for being a thought leader in this area. Now, I've got to start out with a little bit of a confession here. I've only made one conscious decision about a company that I've invested in, and that was way back in the 1990s. I owned Philip Morris, the global tobacco company, and I divested Philip Morris when the no-smoking craze was at its height here in California. Now, I saw the trend in the United States moving towards this no smoking, and that was before Philip Morris had actually split into two companies, Altria, which is the domestic tobacco company, and Philip Morris International. Now, with the benefit of hindsight, I probably would have been better off to hold on to Philip Morris and sold off the Altria after the split. So that was my foray into social consciousness, and that's about as social as I get. But you suggest that people should really carefully consider the businesses where they shop, the companies where they work. How can listeners find organizations whose values match their own?
Well, I think it starts with getting a sense of what conscious money is really all about. And it's simple. It's about having a positive, life-affirming relationship with your money. And you create that relationship when your financial decisions are informed by your values and your wisdom, while at the same time you follow sound financial principles. So I think that when you do that, your heart, where your values might be, and your head, where your good, sound judgment and thinking are more going all in the same direction. And that can benefit you financially because it creates direction, it creates clarity, it steadies your emotions. I mean, how many of us have made impulsive decisions because we were upset emotionally, either when it comes to spending or when it comes to investing? So it's really about confronting that conventional wisdom that says you got to be tough about money, maybe a little mean about money. Well, the conscious money perspective says you've got to be smart about money, but you've also got to make wise financial choices that honor what you really believe in.
All right. Well, back to my decision about Philip Morris in the 1990s. Now, financially, that was a disastrous mistake because had I held on to it, I actually would have probably doubled my money from the low of when I sold that. So I have a pretty good idea that I wanted to increase the value of my investments. I knew that money is not the end-all and be-all. But that particular decision wasn't a good financial decision for me. So separate it out for me and help me to get a better, clearer picture of those types of investment decisions.
Well, if I were your investment advisor, which you wouldn't want me to be your investment advisor because I'm not a financial professional, but if I, as a writer, were giving you ideas, I'd say, Bill, let's take a wider view here. Let's take a larger view here. You're looking at one financial decision, and it happens to be one that, you know, I don't know how you feel about. Was it okay with you to earn money owning a tobacco company?
Yeah, I had no problems with that at all.
You didn't have any qualms with that?
No.
So it didn't violate your values?
No, it did not.
But if it did violate your values, I would say let's look at a whole bunch of different companies that do a whole bunch of different things and see if we can find those great companies that deliver a good financial return and that also are the kind of companies that you want to be part of. And that brings me to the subject of conscious capitalism. Now, there's traditional capitalism and there's the new phenomenon of conscious capitalism. And the difference between them is very simple. Conscious capitalists take a holistic view of business. You know, holistic health, this is holistic business. They say investors are important. They're very important. But customers, employees, suppliers, the planet that we live on, are equally important. And traditional capitalists say business exists to make money, to earn income. Whereas conscious capitalists would say business exists for a purpose, to serve a customer, to make a difference, to make a contribution to life or humanity or whatever. Profit is important, but profit is the result, not the purpose of business. And surprisingly enough, the evidence shows that there's a paradox here. When you look beyond just making a profit, you can actually make more money by honoring your employees, honoring your customers, as researchers at Bentley University discovered when they studied 28 companies that had good stakeholder relationships, and those companies outperformed the S&P 500 by a factor of 10.
My guest is Patricia Aberdeen. She's the author of Conscious Money, Living, Creating, and Investing with Your Values for a Sustainable New Prosperity. And I want to challenge you a little bit on this conscious capitalism because there's some examples in your book which are obvious to most people. Whole Foods. People here are familiar with Whole Foods and their whole ecosystem. Costco, REI. But I'm going to throw out one that's a little bit in the gray area, and that is Walmart. Walmart is the biggest user of social power, I mean, of solar power anywhere in the United States. They also are the biggest user of wind power, and they have really made a conscious effort to reduce the packaging in all of their products. Now, that's on the positive side. On the negative side, they still have this reputation as being very hard on their employees, both pay-wise and benefit-wise. So weigh it out for us. As a conscious capitalist company, how does Walmart stack up?
Okay, you cannot take away from the impact that they have had, the positive impact that they've had on the environment. However, the holistic view says, okay, how are you doing on the environment? How are you doing on governance issues? And how are you doing on labor, on people, on your labor policies? I would say they fall they don't succeed on their labor policies. And so I would certainly not call them a conscious capitalist.
All right, they do not fall into the conscious capitalist.
But I would never take away from the great things they've done for the environment. So you know it's when you look at a company's level of consciousness, you look at all these different areas. Oh, another area that they've been highly criticized for is how they treat their suppliers. So doing real well on the environment, not so well on other areas. Walmart has done pretty well. The stock has done pretty well. But for a very long period there, Costco, which has exemplary standards when it comes to people, was substantially outperforming Walmart in the stock market. And so the whole argument about, okay, they've got to be a little tough on, or let's say not so generous, let's put it that way, with their employees. And we're speaking generally here. I'm not using precise economic terms in this particular case. But that you've got to justify that as an investor, because after all, companies have to make money. In this particular case, Walmart stock had done nothing basically for years, and Costco outperformed them by a substantial margin. I have a section about that in the book that's got the footnote that shows their stock performance and all the rest. They're doing better this year. They're not substantially outperforming Costco. So I think, Bill, that we have a certain mythology that's so part of us that businesses that aren't necessarily good morally just do great financially. And I think that people after the recession and all of those big banks that were making money hand over fist just turned around and started losing it because their policies were so questionable and subprime and all the rest. I think that people now are not accepting the conventional wisdom about money the way that they might have 10 years ago, and that's a good thing, because whether it's Wall Street or a financial advisor or some stock guru on television, I believe the first rule of conscious money is never, ever give your power away to a financial professional or anyone else for that matter. It's your money, and if you make a mistake and lose it, or if you make a good choice and expand it, it's your responsibility. So I think it's healthy to take a skeptical viewpoint of finance as usual and of Wall Street.
My guest is Patricia Aberdeen. She's author of Conscious Money, a new book that's just out this week. So, Patricia, how much of this change that we're seeing with the growing numbers of people becoming more aware of how they shop, how they earn, how they invest, how much of this shift is towards conscious money, as you call it, is really attributable to the evaporation of easy credit that we had during the late 1990s into the early 2000s? Consumers just don't have access to money anymore.
That's true to a very large extent, as I learned when I tried to refinance my mortgage. yeah, that's a factor. That's a factor. But I think that the deepest factor behind conscious money is the desire to have a positive relationship with money, not because of any big do-gooder reason, but because if you have a positive relationship with money, it doesn't so much matter how much money you have. It's always nice to have plenty of money, but it's how you think about it, how you hold it, how you feel about it that really determines a level of well-being or happiness that you might have. And let's face it, money's part of our life.
Without a doubt, yeah. Well, let me ask you, on the subject of money, Patricia, if I can jump in here for just a minute, as we switch from what you call stakeholder values to stakeholder values from shareholder values, are we outpacing our current financial measurement systems like the GAAP?
Financial measurement systems. Now you've brought up a big, big topic. And it's an important one because, you know, when John Nesbitt and I wrote Megatrends, John wrote it, but I was his collaborator on it. We talked about the shift from an industrial to an information society. When you change the basic structure of your society, as I believe that we're, the basic economic structure, I would say that we do need all sorts of new measurements. And that's why I talk about the mythology, some of these things that we've come to think about. In the new economic environment in which we live now, it makes good business sense and good economic sense to think about business in a holistic way, to think about your customers, to think about your suppliers. And because if you have a positive relationship with them, your business is going to be better and you're going to be more successful. So sometimes when I talk about these things, people say, but Patricia, that's just good business. You're right. It is just good business. Nothing more than that. And yet, with all the distortions on Wall Street, we kind of got away from good business, and it's good to be pointed back in the right direction again.
That it is. My guest is Patricia Aberdeen, author of the new book, Conscious Money, Living, Creating, and Investing Your Values for a Sustainable New Prosperity. Patricia, what do you want readers to take away from reading your new book, Conscious Money?
I think more than anything, I want them to bring more awareness to their finances. This is important in terms of how your spending habits, very important to your overall conscious money picture, how you invest certainly, but also how you earn your money. You want to work for a company that's into which you want to invest your own human capital so that you get a good return on that capital. And so it's really important to look at the whole big picture, the investing, the earning, the spending, the financial contributions that you make. And when you bring more awareness to all of those areas, you practice what I call conscious money.
That is great. My guest has been Patricia Aberdeen. Patricia, you've probably piqued the interest of many of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
To my website, which is www.patriciaaberdeen.com. That's my last name is spelled a bit differently. It's spelled A-B-U-R-D-E-N-E.
Patricia, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Bill.